So I want to welcome you to Holy Pascha 2021. And I wanted to, before I reflected on the resurrection, I wanted to offer my gratitude for a few things first. First of all, I wanted to offer my gratitude for allowing me to serve you as your priest. And some of you may know, and some of you may not know, that back in 1984, St. Catherine at Slavens gave spiritual birth to me in this community into Orthodoxy, and now it comes full circle in 2021 where I'm able to serve you as your priest. I also wanted to thank the staff of St. Catherine, Alina, Mindy, Michelle, Stephen, of course, Father Thomas, Vivian, James, and Kelly, who you may or may not know have worked countless, countless hours, especially helping out during Holy Week, making sure that we could have as many people in the church and in the gym as possible, and adjusting over and over and over again. The conference room became Holy Week Central. And it was their little joke, but it was no joke. It was a serious offering of love and self-sacrifice. And when you do see them, give them your heartfelt thanks. I also wanted to thank the parish council, who have also worked very hard and have been at these services, greeting you, ushering you in, and hopefully making you feel very loved and welcome, and also safe and secure. I want to thank our church musicians, our chanters, our choir, our new chanters who have stepped forward this Holy Week and Lent. I want to thank all of the acolytes, young and old. There are some who have been serving for many years, and there are some who are serving for the very first time during this Holy Week. And so those who are more experienced, you can imagine how patient they're being and loving. I want to thank those who decorated the tomb, those who guided and organized the myrrh-bearing girls and the myrrh-bearing girls themselves, who were so beautiful. You'll see them again tonight. I wanted to thank our camera people and our IT people for setting up the streaming in the gym, for setting up the streaming here in the church, and even having extra cameras so that when we go up into the choir loft during the Paschal Orthros, people at home and people in the gym can see it and see it well. I want to thank all of the people behind the scenes who are doing details that they don't get any credit for, but they have to happen in order for Holy Week and Pascha to go off well. And last but certainly not least, I want to thank all of you. Last Holy Week and last Pascha taught us all to take nothing for granted. And certainly the commitment, the love, the faith, the prayers, and above all, the presence of people, people who form the body of Christ. And I will never, ever again take for granted your presence, because it's a big difference having your faith and your energy versus just a camera. And there were only five of us last year, and it wasn't at all the same. I want to now reflect a little on the resurrection. In just a couple of moments, all the lights will go off. And that darkness symbolizes what our life and what our world would be like without a resurrected Lord. If Jesus were not risen from the dead, he first of all would not be God. There would be no Christian faith. There would be no Christian church. If Jesus were not risen from the dead, death itself would be still the undefeated champion in the universe and in our lives. Sin would still reign supreme in us. There would be no light in a fallen world. The evil one would be the supreme ruler of the universe. You know that he does not have free reign, that the Lord God keeps him in check. There would be no kingdom of heaven, no afterlife. Think about how the afterlife, eternity, where there is no pain or sorrow or suffering, how it gives meaning to the pain and the sorrow and the suffering that we experience on this side of life. Christ pierces through that darkness. That's why, in the midst of the darkness, in a few moments, one light will shine forth in that darkness. And that light is the victory of Christ over death and over sin and over the evil one. My dear brothers and sisters, the resurrection had transformative power when it first occurred in the lives of the apostles and the lives of the disciples. I want you to think back. When Jesus was arrested, the apostles scattered. They went into hiding. They even denied the Lord that they knew him. They were locked up in their own homes for fear of the Jews and for fear of the Romans. But the moment that the tomb was empty and they knew for sure that Jesus was risen from the dead, it had a complete transformation on their mindset, on their hearts, and on the action of their lives. Where before they were afraid, after the resurrection, they thanked God that they were arrested, that they were persecuted, that they lost their homes, that they lost their families, they lost their material possessions, they even lost their lives. Think about how the apostles each drew lots and the Holy Spirit sent them each to different parts of the world. They went and they made disciples of all peoples. But they also suffered at the hands of those that they preached to and at the hands of those they loved. Every single one of the 12, except for John, died a martyr's death. And he was boiled alive in oil. He was fed poison, and the Lord preserved him so that he could die of natural causes. Every single generation thereafter, all the way to the present day, just look at the saints and look at those that are unknown to us who were faithful. Every one of them was transformed by the reality of the resurrection. Think about all of the calamities, the wars, the famines, the scarcity, the poverty, the persecutions. Think about all of the plagues that these Christians faced in their lifetime. How did they respond to the resurrection? How were they transformed by the reality that Jesus had risen from the dead and he had destroyed death? Think about how they were no longer afraid. How they clung in all of those challenges and trials and tribulations to the risen Lord in an intimate relationship. Think about how they let nothing come between them and the holy and life-giving Eucharist, Christ's body and blood. How many Christians transformed by the reality of the resurrection were willing to risk their lives to come to church? Generation after generation after generation, all the way to the present day, handing down the faith intact, fervent, to the next generation, all the way to us. How many of them would never forsake assembling as the body of Christ with each other for the support, for the sharpening, for the love? My dear brothers and sisters, all of this is the fruit of the transforming power of the resurrection. And now it's our turn. Every year we try to drive the truth and the reality of the resurrection deeper into our minds and our hearts and into our lives. How will we respond this year? It's easy to say Christ is risen, and then the response, truly he is risen. It's easy to light our candles. It's easy to feel the joy of the feast because it's the greatest feast. It's the culmination of 40 days. It's the culmination of Holy Week. Every year we look with anticipation on this day. But the question is, does it transform us? Will we, like those who have gone before us, cling in love to our risen Lord? Will we let nothing come between us and the holy and life-giving Eucharist, the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Will we go stop at nothing to assemble as the body of Christ, the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church? This is my fervent prayer for all of us, that we are able to fill not only this church, but all the churches all over this country and all over this world, and that we are truly changed by the reality of our Lord's resurrection, that we no longer fear anything that can come between us and the risen Lord, between us and salvation, between us and his eternal kingdom. Amen.